How's it going, everybody? It's Sam from Financial Samurai, and this is the third quarter 2017 investment recap. So the quarter was a complete blur for me. I don't remember much of anything at all. And the reason was twofold. One, selling my house in June that I owned since 2005 was really, really trying. It was really stressful. The whole process only took about 45 days, but when you're in the moment, it felt like it took forever. Really stressful because the buyer didn't sign off on or didn't release the inspection contingency or the financing contingency for days. I thought it wasn't going to go through. There was a lot of counter offering, letter writing, and just waiting around. I even pulled the deal. I canceled the deal the very last week because I was just sick and tired and I wanted to get a tenant, but the tenants ended up flaking out that morning. So at the end of the day, the deal went through. I can't believe it. The buyer took out a $2 million main mortgage and then took out another $400,000 mortgage to buy my house. And so clearly, the guy must be bullish on his income future because nobody takes on that much debt to buy a house. I don't think I could afford to buy my house right now. So I think it's kind of crazy. So I feel good about it still that I sold. It's been 3 months. It's nice not to have things to do in terms of maintaining the house or dealing with tenants. But like always, you just always will second guess yourself until the very end. So the other reason why I can't remember too much of anything in the third quarter is because I've been basically sleep deprived for months since my son was born, both my wife and I. And just want to provide a big, big shout out to my wife who decided after the third month to take over the entire night. And that was really huge for me. I didn't realize how much energy and sleep is required to create. You know, when I write a new post or, you know, do something new online, it's basically going from zero to one every single time. And I didn't realize how much glucose, sleep, it is required to create. If I had like a normal mundane job that just kind of punched in and out and it did the same thing over and over again, I think I could have done it no problem. But man, so for those of you who are creatives or who have something, you know, slightly more challenging to do in everyday life for work, get your sleep. Don't be like me. So again, thanks a lot to my wife. All right. So I had a number of objectives for the third quarter this year. And maybe this podcast or post will help you think about how to reinvest any large windfalls, especially in a bull market where you're kind of skeptical. I'm pretty skeptical. I'm always skeptical about these crazy bull runs because, you know, I saw the 97 financial, well, the Asian financial crisis in 97, you know, the dot bomb in 2000, and then obviously the housing crisis in 2008 and 2009. So it's been a while since we've had a correction, and I'm kind of wary. But I had some objectives, and they are fivefold. One was to redeploy 50% of the house sale proceeds with an overall return objective of about 10% a year. I used to just shoot for 4 to 6%, which is actually my overall net worth increase target per year. But I'm shooting for 10% because I'm greedy now, because it's a bull market, right? Everybody's making money, so why not me too? Second objective, keep the remaining proceeds liquid in order to have enough ammunition to buy a cheaper house with hopefully ocean views if an opportunity arises. I think there's a lot of opportunity on the west coast of San Francisco or the west side of San Francisco. And I'm just trying to remind myself to be disciplined. Don't use that money to blow it on stupid things because I think it's really tempting and easy to do. Three, I just want to continue to buy the dips in the stock market to bring my exposure weighting of equities as percentage of my net worth higher by about 5%. Four, I'm reading a lot more perma-bearish websites out there to get a more well-rounded perspective. I've been relatively bullish for a while now, and I'm a perennial optimist. I'm always believing in, you know, there is a solution for everything. And it's just kind of really good for me and for other people who are also bullish to look at the other side. I mean, and I also find it quite entertaining that there are these sites that are always talking about doom and gloom in the real estate market, stock market, everything market. And it just kind of takes a certain type of personality to always be really Debbie Downer negative. And I think it's really entertaining. And it's really funny that they continue to be so bearish when the markets have done so well. So I don't think it's a good business model overall, because over the long term, investments generally go up and to the right, while stocks, bonds, and real estate, thanks to inflation. But it's entertaining regardless. And then finally, my objective is to reduce wage income for the rest of the year to reduce taxes given the home sale. The home sale is a big home sale, and any single dollar I make is going to be taxed at the highest tax rate. And I don't need any more money because I just sold my home, right? So I have excess liquidity. So overall, in the third quarter, I invested $1,109,872. You know, that sounds like a lot of money. It is a lot of money, but it's not mostly new money. $935,000 of that figure was from the home sale. And then the rest was new cash flow. So the business has been doing pretty well. I'm really fortunate about that. And the business is, frankly, my largest asset. So that's what I'm going to continue to focus on. But for the sake of this podcast and this post, we're just going to talk about some third quarter investments. Essentially, I invested somewhere around 200 something thousand in the stock market. It's something I would not have done if I didn't sell the house, because I've been very hesitant on stock market valuations for a while now, but I just really focused on asset allocation. So if you have a large windfall and you're also wary, just focus on the allocation portion. Basically, I was buying the S&P 500 index and large cap tech stocks. And the reason why I bought large cap tech stocks is, well, one, I like growth tech stocks, but two, the house I sold is kind of like a tech play, right? It's a San Francisco single family home that I got rid of. And when the tech market is booming in terms of jobs and income growth, real estate generally does pretty well in San Francisco, Seattle, and so forth. So I didn't want to completely get out of that market, because you see a lot of positive things happen. You see like the SoftBank $100 billion private equity fund that's funding companies like Uber, Slack, and so forth. So they're really pumping billions, literally, into the San Francisco Bay Area economy and elsewhere. And eventually these companies are going to get bought or IPO, and it's going to be, I think it's just going to continue going. You're going to have some dips here and there, but overall, it just seems like the job engine here is so good. And I know I'm going to regret selling my house 20 years from now. But again, as I wrote in my post, I need to live for today. My real focus in the third quarter was to try to not lose money. And so I really built a municipal bond portfolio. The total came out to a little over $500,000. And I basically bought individual California municipal bonds with a yield to maturity of between 3.5% to 3.85%. The coupon payments are federal tax-free and state tax-free. I also bought a lot of zero coupon bonds, again, because I don't really need the cash flow, and they had higher yields. They are long-term bonds, AA, AAA, 20-year bonds, and that's the only way I could get close to a 4% interest payment. And that's equivalent to about 5.5% or higher, actually, for if I had went for gross yields. So I thought, I just want to protect that money, lock it up, earn. If I can do 5% gross plus, that's fine with me. What I didn't realize was how expensive it was to buy individual bonds. It's not that expensive, but every $10,000 worth of bonds costs $10. Whereas you can buy like $500,000 worth of stock for $5. So it really kind of adds up. So it got kind of annoying. It reminded me that the best holding period is probably forever for a lot of these assets. And so you just have to kind of bite the bullet whenever you do some kind of large trades, pay the fees up front, and just buy and hold for a while. So bonds over $500,000. I decided to invest a little bit of well, actually it was $200,000 in my friend's second venture debt fund, and $72,712 was called in August. The first fund did okay. It was like a 12.5% annual return for the past 3 years, and they've got about 1 year left to go. So I think, you know, anything above 10% is pretty good to me. And again, this is where I don't really have to think about the money. It's just invested for me for a fee, and the 12.5% is net of fees. So hopefully he'll return higher returns for the second fund. I paid down not too much of my mortgage, about $23,000. And partly, well, the main reason why is because I just paid down $815,000 of mortgage for the rental house, right? So I felt I did something good already by decreasing debt and also reducing exposure. And then finally, I spent about $250,000. Well, I spent $250,000 in a real estate crowdfunding fund. So total, I have about $500,000 in that fund. And they made a couple investments. One I wasn't too positive on, frankly. It was this Las Vegas residential property deal. And the reason why is because I'm trying to get out, diversify away from coastal city property, which is much more expensive, and also boom-bust towns like Las Vegas and Miami. If you look back to the financial crisis, I mean, Las Vegas got crushed. I think they were down like 60% or something. You can just continuously build in Las Vegas and also a lot in Florida as well. So I wasn't really bullish on that deal, and I'm going to write a post about why I'm not bullish on it, and I actually think it could lose money for me. But the second deal the fund made, it's the Realty Shares Domestic Market Equity Fund, was a multi-unit family property in Canyon Lake, Texas, which is basically between Austin and San Antonio. So now I have exposure to San Antonio, Austin, and Dallas, which I think is good. That's exactly what I want to do. I want to focus on the heartland, focus on Texas property. And one thing to realize with these potential tax changes under the Trump administration is that state income tax deductions or mortgage interest deductions might be capped or eliminated. So there's really an attack at the margin on blue states like California, New York, New Jersey, Illinois. All these states have much higher property tax rates and state tax rates. And that's why I'm trying to move my money away from blue states to red states. So Texas is a classic example where there's no state tax. So if there's no state tax, they're going to benefit at the margin. All right, so all in all, I felt pretty good, and I was actually surprised after doing this review and exercise how much I actually put to work. And it really helps to put money with a fund or, you know, a private fund or whatever and have them invest for you if you're just too busy. Because if you think about it, if you're a new parent, you are too busy. And if you're a new parent and you're working, it's really difficult to stay on top of your investments. So after everything, I still have about $1 million, $1,090,000 left to invest. And the reason why I'm keeping all this cash is simply because I'm addicted to physical property. Even though being a landlord pains me to no end, I just really, really like physical property where you can see, touch, get utility, get rents. And I was going to offer all cash deals on a couple properties, but you know, the agents just said, forget about it. One was listed at $1.3 million. I was going to offer $1.5 million, and they said, forget about it. And it went for $1.7 million. And another property went for $100,000 more than I was going to offer as well. So it's clearly, yeah, it's just really hard to find some good deals. Unlike when I bought my current house in 2014. But I think there's a chance. There's always a chance. You just have to look and look and look. And that's what I like to do. But every time I'm about to make an offer, I just kind of get goosebumps, and I think about, you know, the pain of managing a contractor who's going to charge you 50% more and then take 6 months longer than expected, and then, you know, the frustration of dealing with tenants and maintenance issues. So maybe I will never buy another piece of property, at least here in San Francisco. Maybe the next property will be one that I live in, which hopefully will be in Hawaii, or I can raise my family there. So I've got the following game plan for the rest of the year, and that is, you know, every time the S&P 500 corrects by 1% or greater, I'm going to invest up to $100,000 in that correction. And then if the 10-year bond yield gets to 2.5% again or higher, I'm going to put aggressively maybe $250,000 to $500,000 in municipal bonds. And then finally, I am having dinner with several people from the Realty Shares Investment Committee, and I'm going to basically ask them to explain their investment rationale on a couple deals that they've done, which I'm not a fan of, and then also have them talk about future investment plans. And if no correction happens, I'm just going to continue to invest about $10,000 at least in stocks and bonds every single month, and then just hoard the rest of the cash and wait for potentially a correction or if a sweet house pops up. And finally, as I do every single quarter, I run my investments through Personal Capital's investment checkup feature to see how I've been doing, and also to analyze my current investment asset allocation and compare it to their recommendations based on the profile that I filled out. So bottom line, my public investments are up 9.78%, which is okay. It's underperforming the S&P 500 by almost 4%, but it's outperforming the U.S. bond index by almost 7%. So I'm happy with these results overall. I am shooting for a 10% annual return with my new investments and a 4 to 6% annual return of my overall net worth each year. And because I retired and achieved my target retirement figure in 2012, frankly, everything is kind of gravy. And it's just kind of a fun way to generate income through creativity and then reinvest that cash flow into hopefully other investments that will continue to pay back in the future. So if you haven't checked it out, do an investment checkup yourself. I think it's really helpful. You know, in a bull market or in a bear market, a lot of your investments and asset allocation shifts without you knowing. So right now, like based on my investment checkup, I see, you know, I've got a higher allocation of cash than the target allocation. That's obvious since I sold the house. But it's interesting, I see unclassified for me at 16.6% versus target allocation of zero. Well, unclassified is simply alternative investments because those are my manual inputs of some private equity, venture debt, and real estate crowdfunding. So that's about it, guys. Hope you guys had a great third quarter. Let me know what you guys invested in and what you expect for the rest of the year. I think we need to all look out for what's going to happen with tax cuts, if any. It's going to be really interesting because if there are tax cuts, basically shareholders of public companies that benefit from those tax cuts will see some benefits, right? And also small business owners that have pass-through income should see some benefits because pass-through income is supposed to be capped at 25%. So if you're earning or you're getting taxed at 33%, 35%, or 39.6%, you could get a pretty good bump up in your bottom line. So look out for that. And if you haven't started a business, maybe this is the time. All right, guys. Talk to you later.